I'm here with Alexander Mercuris. Alexander, let's get into those 90,000 documents that Bill Clinton provided during his impeachment trial that all the Democrats seem to be talking about. And let me read you the first couple of paragraphs from an article via Byron York from the Washington Examiner. For weeks, Democrats have been demanding to see new witnesses and documents for the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump. Mostly they have emphasized witnesses. But on Tuesday, the first full day of the trial, the Democratic House managers seemed to turn up the call for documents, claiming that President Bill Clinton provided tens of thousands of pages of documents for his impeachment trial in 1999. Quote, in the Clinton case, the president provided all of the documents, more than 90,000 pages of them, before the trial took place, the manager said in a statement released Tuesday morning. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's resolution rejects that basic necessity. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi backed up the managers. Quote, for the Clinton trial, witnesses were deposed and the president provided more than 90,000 documents, she said Tuesday. All of the documents in the Clinton trial were turned over prior to the trial, said lead impeachment manager, Representative Adam Schiff, when arguments before the Senate began, quote, all 90,000 pages of them, so they could be used in the House's case, end quote. Alexander, Bill Clinton, 90,000 documents that he provided, and they're upset that Trump isn't providing the same amount of documents. Let's debunk this story.
Once again, the Democrats want us, are saying it not as it actually was during the Clinton impeachment trial, but as they want us all to think it was. And the two are entirely and completely different. Now, what actually happened in the Clinton case, and, you know, Byron York set it all out very well in the article in the Washington Examiner, is that the whole Clinton case was investigated by independent special counsel, who was, of course, Kenneth Starr. Kenneth Starr tried to get various documents out of Bill Clinton, who was the president. Bill Clinton voluntarily gave nothing. So, I mean, already we see a fundamental difference from what the Democrats are insinuating or implying actually happened. Bill Clinton gave nothing. Ken Starr then applied to get these documents, but via various subpoenas. Those subpoenas were litigated in courts up and down the United States. Eventually, he was able to collect 90,000 documents from Bill Clinton, and those were the documents upon which he brought his case for impeachment to the House of Representatives, and which the House of Representatives then took to the Senate. So it's not true that Bill Clinton gave 90,000 documents, you know, before the impeachment trial. He was forced to give 90,000 documents as part of his impeachment trial. What the Democrats are trying to do, and it's very insidious and rather and very ugly, actually, is firstly, they're trying to build this false narrative that Donald Trump has engaged in some, you know, mysterious offense called obstruction of Congress, an offense which, to be very clear, does not exist in law. But that's what they're, that's one thing that they are saying. And, you know, they're trying to build up this narrative that there was some sort of obstruction of Congress because Donald Trump supposedly hasn't provided them voluntarily with everything they wanted, even though he has the right not to provide things if he simply asked for them. But the second thing they're trying to do is that they're trying to undermine, at least where Donald Trump is concerned, the principle of executive privilege. Now, executive privilege is not an open-ended thing which says that the president can decide not to disclose anything he wants. The president has the right to keep certain documents or records confidential because they are part of the private discussions the president has with his top advisors as he formulates his policies as president of the United States. And the kind of people we're talking about are his chief of staff, his national security advisor, people like that. Now, it has been established law in the United States, going all the way back to George Washington, that those kind of documents are protected by executive privilege. That doesn't mean that the president, you know, has an absolute right to refuse to disclose them. What it means is he can say, I'm not prepared to disclose them. And the House, if it wants to impeach him, can then subpoena those documents. The documents then go to court. The court considers the subpoenas. Here's the arguments that the president and his lawyers want to make. Here's the arguments that the House of Representatives and its lawyers make, and then decides on the basis of fairness and law whether or not the documents should be disclosed, or whether in fact executive privilege overrides any other concern and they should not be disclosed. Now, what the Democrats want to do is that they wanted to cut out this whole process. They had the option, whilst the House impeachment inquiry was underway, of going to court and seeking those documents that way through proper subpoenas. And they elected not to. Having decided not to, they now turn round and ask the Senate, which has a Republican majority, to do this for them in a way that, in effect, will override, without a court decision, the president's right to claim executive privilege for his documents. Now, that is the extinguishing of an important presidential right, which, as I said, goes all the way back to George Washington. That's a very insidious and ugly thing. And I noticed that the Republican majority in the Senate would have nothing to do with it. And every time the Democrats tried to get documents provided in this way, and there were 7 votes in total, the Senate refused, with the Republican majority holding together.
Yeah, once you find out the true story of these 90,000 documents, then it makes sense why the whole thing doesn't hold together, this narrative doesn't hold together from the Trump legal team side. But it does make for a very good talking point and very good media and PR spin for the Democrats. 2 points, Alexander. Starr was an independent counsel, very much, I guess, analogous to Mueller. Correct?
Absolutely. He was actually even more independent than Mueller, because he wasn't subordinate to the Attorney General in the way that Mueller was. But of course, as we saw, the Attorney General, at least the Deputy Attorney General, who was Rod Rosenstein, basically let Mueller do whatever he wanted. So it didn't really make any difference.
Right. So, I mean, if you really wanted to draw a proper analogy of these kind of documents, you wouldn't look at this impeachment trial, which was very rushed through the entire process and wasn't fair and balanced whatsoever. You would say, let's compare Starr to Mueller.
Maybe.
That's the best comparison you can get. And in that case, from what I understand, the Trump White House turned over millions of documents to the Mueller prosecutors. And let me read you one short sentence from Byron New York's article as well, which also points out the differences between what Clinton went through in his impeachment and what's going on with Trump. This is from Byron New York. Starr was an independent counsel with full law enforcement powers, and his office issued many grand jury subpoenas pushing Clinton, who often resisted fiercely, to turn over the 90,000 documents over the course of 4.5 years, covering the Whitewater, Travelgate, Filegate, and Lewinsky investigations. So not only is the analogy poor by comparing Starr and Clinton impeachment to what's going on with Trump and the documents there, but also the timing is way off. I mean, the Trump impeachment was so short, and these 90,000 documents covered 4.5 years.
That's right. That's entirely right. As compared to the, as you correctly said, millions of pages of documents that Donald Trump gave voluntarily to Mueller. Donald Trump never, in fact, invoked privilege towards Mueller. He actually gave Mueller everything Mueller asked for. Well, I should say Andrew Weissman, who was really the person who was running that investigation, asked for. I mean, Mueller and Weissman got everything. Clinton did not give Starr everything Starr wanted. Starr had to fight for it via subpoenas through the courts. It's a fundamental difference. Didn't prevent, by the way, the Democrats accusing Trump of having engaged in obstruction of justice where Mueller was concerned. They never explained the logic of that, given that Trump gave Mueller everything that Mueller asked for. But, you know, never mind. I mean, that's the way the Democrats now do these things. And here I'm going to make an observation of my own, which is that this is supposed to be the impeachment of the President of the United States, an extraordinarily serious matter indeed. Is it right and proper for the Democrats to come along to the Senate and to the people of the United States and start spreading round these false stories, making absolutely bogus comparisons between the way Clinton behaved in 1999 and the way Trump behaved now? I mean, I think to me, that seems incredibly manipulative and extremely dishonest, and not for the first time. It calls into question the entire good faith under which this impeachment is being conducted. Because if this impeachment was being conducted in good faith, which of course it isn't, they wouldn't be making up stories like this.
Yeah, I mean, they're basing their entire impeachment now, a lot of their narrative is based on these 90,000 documents that Clinton turned over and that Trump is refusing. That's the picture that they're painting. And when you look at it on its face, well, and you read the titles of mainstream media, you say, oh, well, Clinton turned over 90,000 documents. Why doesn't Trump turn over any documents? But as Byron York dissects it, and as you have just dissected it, the two processes cannot even be compared. And as a matter of fact, Trump, during the Mueller investigation, turned over millions of documents.
Well, that's right. I mean, not only can the two processes not be compared, what the Democrats are saying, I'm going to use the word, in my opinion, it's a lie. I can't see any other way to describe this. I mean, it's a lie that, like, you know, really clever lies, has some very tangential but actually dishonest connection to a certain fact, in that, you know, 90,000 documents were produced in Clinton's impeachment, and we don't have anything like so many in Donald Trump's impeachment. But the entire process by which those 90,000 documents were produced is being dishonestly represented. It's been misrepresented to the American people. Let me remind our viewers that the single most important document of all, which was the record of the famous or infamous conversation between Donald Trump and President Zelensky of Ukraine on 25th July 2019, Donald Trump produced without any prompting. The Democrats didn't even ask for it. He just went ahead and produced it. And when he didn't say what they wanted it to say, they insinuated that it wasn't complete or that it wasn't accurate, until even the most hostile witnesses that they interviewed had to admit that it was. So, you know, they've got no grounds of complaint here. This whole allegation that they're making has no reality to it. And as I said, this whole thing reeks of bad faith.
Yeah, and they've done irreparable harm to U.S. foreign policy and U.S. diplomacy.
Indeed, to U.S. diplomacy, U.S. foreign policy, the international reputation of the United States, and of course the entire impeachment process, which is going to be impossible to take as seriously as one should do in the future. If you impeach the President of the United States, the head of state of the United States, directly elected by the American people in accordance with the Constitution. That is a hugely serious matter. You do it properly for some well-founded ground, not on a made-up ground, cobbled together through a rushed investigation, and then with all these phony stories being spread in the Senate so that they can play well in the media and win over a couple of voters. As I said, it's cynical beyond words.
Yeah, they got the transcript between Trump and Zelensky, but what world leaders now are really going to want to speak openly with President Trump now?
Well, indeed, exactly. I mean, you know, as you absolutely rightly say, they severely compromised the position of the President of the United States. I'm going to add, I mean, you know, all sorts of people now are being extremely careful about what they say with the President of the United States. I've heard stories about Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Britain, being very careful now, you know, in his conversations with the President of the United States, Donald Trump. I've heard the same about the Prime Minister of Iraq. I mean, this is open source material that I've been reading. And this is the direct result of this kind of misuse of the impeachment process. There's been no abuse of power. There's no evidence of abuse of power by Donald Trump, whatever that means. I'm not even sure exactly what the Democrats mean by it. But there has certainly been abuse of the impeachment process. And let's be absolutely clear, that has been an abuse that has been underway right from the day that Donald Trump was elected.
Okay, Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Hit that like button. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe. Star, your donation really helps us out a whole lot. And go to the Durant shop to pick up some magic mugs, which will improve, I think they will improve, your IQ and your geopolitical IQ by thousands and thousands of points, maybe 90,000 points.
Well, indeed, sir. Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's at least 90,000 points that they've improved mine. I mean, you know, this prodigious ability to go and unpack all of these things is entirely due to drinking from magic mugs like this. And 90,000 points must be, you know, the very least that they've improved it by. So, of course, you know, any resemblance between that figure and the figure we've just been discussing in the program is just chance. Seriously, though, these are fantastic magic mugs, beautiful to hold, light and strong, elegant, well-made, you know, extremely well-made. I've had my magic mugs now for about a year. I use them every day. I drink my coffee and my tea from them. I've once drunk champagne from mine. You know, I clean them all the time. I put them in dishwashers and all sorts of things. You can see not a single chip, not a single crack. No discoloration. There's the badge of the Russian Federation. You can see it there. And it's absolutely pristine. And all my magic mugs are exactly the same, as are all of Alex's magic mugs also. And, you know, they're beautiful magic mugs. Well, indeed, we've got the same magic mug. What a surprise. And it's true also with all our other merchandise. I mean, you see me wearing now my long-sleeved Durant t-shirt because it's still very cold in London. And 100% cotton, as all our shirts are, beautifully made. You know, I've been wearing it lots. It's as good as new. And that is a very remarkable thing to say, given how, you know, heavily I've worn it. I've worn this shirt in mountains and in, you know, walking across rivers, in storms, in snowstorms, you name it, and it's still in perfect condition. And all our shirts are 100% cotton. They're all beautifully made. They have the Durant double-headed eagle, as you can see there. We've got short sleeve t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts. We've got V-neck shirts. We've got our really smart and very elegant polo neck shirts, which I've worn at, you know, social occasions, many social occasions now. And made a wonderful impression when I've been wearing them. So you will also find other things in our shop. You'll find hoodies and hats and stickers, all of them extremely beautifully made. The feedback we get from people who buy them is, you know, wonderful. So this is the way you can support your Durand. The Durand, you can go to our shop, buy these great things, be the proud owner of them, and support the Durand at the same time, so that we can continue to provide you with programs like this. So what's holding you back? Go to our shop, buy these great things. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just go to the durandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durand. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.